is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Attorneys for Indigenous activist Lynnett Peltier have submitted a formal application for executive clemency to the Office of the Pardon Attorney at the U.S. Department of Justice. An innocent man, Native American activist Lynnett Peltier, was wrongly convicted in connection with the shooting deaths of two agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation in 1977, has been in prison now for over 40 years. We're joined by attorneys Martin Garbus, who has appeared before the United States Supreme Court as well as trial and appellate courts throughout the United States. He has written numerous briefs that have been submitted to the United States Supreme Court, a number of which have resulted in changes in the law on a nationwide basis. Garbus also participated in drafting several constitutions and foreign laws, and he's been involved in prisoner exchange negotiations between governments and has authored six books. Cynthia Dunn, director of a nonprofit corporation that works with youth on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, worked for 28 years as an assistant United States attorney, where she prosecuted a broad variety of cases, including public corruption and civil rights offenses. Martin Garbus and Cynthia Dunn make the case for clemency for Lynnett Peltier.
Hi.
Cynthia, I want to begin with you. You wrote for Indian Country Media Network, quote, "When I left my job after 28 years as a federal prosecutor to volunteer on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, I was warned by a friend for the community. Do yourself a favor. Never state an opinion about Lynnett Peltier. Well, we both assumed I would oppose Peltier's release from prison. We were wrong." Now, speaking as a legal aid lawyer to a former federal prosecutor, your involvement, your interest, your pursuing clemency for Lynnett Peltier. Tell us your story on that.
Thanks for referencing that, because that's a good point. I wrote that piece that you're referencing to in Indian Country Today in 2015, before I was hired by Lynnett Peltier, before I met Martin Garbus, before I had any idea I would ever have any contact with either. I, working on the reservation, heard about the 1970s all the time from the elders in the community. It's something that still has or is a source of pain in the community. They call it the Reign of Terror because of the high crime rate and the seeming apathy from federal law enforcement to bring prosecutions for the major crimes on the reservation. And then this particular incident that occurred in 1975, again, is something that comes up all the time. And the name Lynnett Peltier, I had heard it as a prosecutor, but I had basically accepted wholesale the FBI's presentation that he was a cold-blooded murderer who willingly and deliberately shot two FBI agents at close range in the head mercilessly. And they've got all sorts of adjectives that go with it. And I'd accepted that. So we both assumed that I was just going to find that if I ever looked into it. But it just kept coming back, and people were so adamant that there was a great injustice there, and working in the community, it was just something that always comes up. So I ultimately decided, well, I'll look into it for myself and see what I can find. And there's a learning curve involved in this case. As a newcomer to considering the case, there is a learning curve to get past what I'm going to call the propaganda about the case. It took me over 100 hours of looking at publicly available records, public press reports, court records, et cetera. And I formed the opinion that this was a really great injustice here, and it ran contrary to everything that I had believed in for my 28 years working in the justice system. I just felt like, wow, how could our government, when we threw it to today's lens, how can we let this stand? And so I wrote that piece, and then after that, I was contacted by Martin Garbus and really met with Lynnett Peltier. And agreed to represent him and work with Mr. Garbus on the case. He's the lead counsel. But the point is that after that, I got access to even additional records, the Freedom of Information Act records that aren't necessarily readily available online, the internal FBI records of the time that show an even stronger case for I think, perhaps one of the greatest injustices in the history of the justice system. So that's how I came to
that's
it. And
a
that's
heck
why
of
I'm with the team.
That's a heck of an indictment to Martin Garvis. Pick it up from there. I mean, Peltier has been designated a political prisoner by Amnesty International, and people such as Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu had risen to the occasion of support for him. The case for the injustice that has been perpetrated against Leonard Peltier that has caused you to be his champion.
I was in Nebraska and in South Dakota and in Minneapolis when the Wounded Knee cases were tried. And I represented a number of defendants in Nebraska after the 73 shootout. And I got to understand then Leonard's case. I saw that two other people who were charged with the same crime were ultimately acquitted. I saw the justice system take Leonard's case and move it to a judge was one of the most, a judge who was most hateful to the Indian community, had total disrespect for them. I saw the justice system shuffle itself so that Leonard could get extradited based on false affidavits from Canada so that he would ultimately stand trial. And then ultimately, when it came to the trial itself, the government acknowledged during the trial, after the trial, that they didn't know who shot the two FBI men. And the ballistics evidence did not support the claim. In fact, it contradicted the claim that Leonard had done the shooting. Well, now Leonard is at 72. He's been in jail for 42 years. He has spent a good deal of that time in solitary for a crime he did not commit. One of the most unusual things of this case, and it really sets it apart, I think, from any other American trial, is the federal appellate judge asking that Leonard be released because of the government's misconduct during the trial. It's as heinous a case of government misconduct as you will see. And for that, Leonard Peltier has spent his life in jail. And if he doesn't get out now through Obama, he will most certainly die in jail. It's unlikely that Trump, whether he's there for one or two terms or whoever, is going to release him. If Obama does not, then who will? So we are trying as much as we can. And Cynthia has been running an extraordinary campaign. She's been in Washington. She's met with members of Congress. She's labored endlessly because we all realize that unless it happens by the time Obama leaves, it will not happen. It's very funny. In America, the case is known at sub-level. But if you go outside of America, then you find that it's extraordinarily well-known. He's America's leading political prisoner outside of the United States. There should be an article either today or tomorrow in The Guardian, the British newspaper, about this case, as there already have been articles in much of the media, and there also has been, in addition to this show, other television and radio stations that have been dealing with the case. So it's an enormous issue. If in fact, there's any commitment on the part of Obama to reach out to the Native American community, this is that case. At Standing Rock, the demonstrators had placards demanding the release of Leonard Peltier, and they were singing and protesting. So it's an issue from 1975, which is, you know, some 40 years, and the issue stays alive, and this wrongfully convicted man at this point stays in jail.
And Cynthia, I want to go back to what you said, which is really dramatic and remarkable for someone who was a federal prosecutor, and we're talking about the death of two FBI agents, and you're saying this is the most egregious case of misconduct and misjustice that you have ever experienced.
Okay, I mean, well, it's really, at this point, part of history. Some of the most egregious injustices are really not subject to credible dispute. They've been found so by the courts. The courts have commentated on it, and as Mr. Garvis just mentioned, the appellate judge who reluctantly held the verdict in place nonetheless said, we need to do something about this and he should be granted clemency. The injustices include, among other things, there were multiple false statements to the press in order to gain a tactical advantage. There were false affidavits submitted to the courts that were just patently false. When you put them next to each other, you can see that they were just created to try to get a result, a result-oriented decision from a court rather than justice. They coerced witness statements. And I guess most telling to me is that they deliberately withheld critical ballistic reports from Mr. Peltier's attorneys during the trial. Among my first look when I was looking through records on my own, I came across a couple of interviews with the prosecutors from the case, and they said, oh, well, you know, this is such a big case, and there are so many people prosecuting the case, and we lost those records. It wasn't a deliberate withholding of the ballistics reports. That might sound credible in a case like Bernie Madoff investigation, where you've got lots of paper, but I've done murder cases. I've prosecuted murder cases. You don't have a whole lot of paper, and the only person you really look for paper on is going to be your ballistics expert, because that's what they're there for, is to testify about their test results. But somehow they lost his test results and so had him testify contrary to his own test results. But among the records that we have attached to the petition is a FBI memorandum, a teletype, which is how they communicated before the internet, from an FBI agent to his supervisors reporting during trial that the prosecutors had deliberately directed them not to produce ballistics reports to Mr. Peltier's attorneys at trial. So some lying FBI agent out there thought this was such an extraordinary direction that they memorialized it in writing. What that shows me is there was a real deliberate decision at the time by prosecutors and was gone along with by the FBI agents to give Mr. Peltier a patently unfair trial and to ensure that he was convicted. The prior trial that Mr. Barbas referred to of his co-defendants, Butler and Robidoux, they had debriefed the jurors, and the jurors had told them, among other things, that they would never convict someone in these facts because the place was such a politically charged war zone and the two agents entered private property unannounced. They would never convict someone of killing them unless the government could prove that someone was a cold-blooded murderer who had shot these guys deliberately in the head. And so that's what they went out to prove in the trial. And that's why they withheld evidence and they changed the theory of the case when it came to Mr. Peltier's trial. They went out to try to hold someone accountable. And Leonard Peltier has been done 40 years in jail and a staggering 5 or 6 years of that time in solitary confinement, which makes it exponentially a much stiffer sentence. And it's really one of the greatest injustices that you'll see when you look at cases. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me. Now, we do know that the FBI is actively opposing his release this time around. We received a letter that they oppose his release because the crimes, quote, challenge the rule of law our criminal justice is built on. You know, while the rule of law ordinarily is something that is praiseworthy, in this case, it's a shield. It prevents self-reflection. Where was the rule of law when the prosecutor's agents and their superiors decided to withhold critical exculpatory ballistics proof? Where was the rule of law when they coerced witnesses to provide false testimony? You know, you can't use the rule of law to keep them in jail and not look at your own conduct in that analysis. Here, we're 41 years later. I mean, the time was long ago, but if not now, as Martin says, he will surely die in jail. He's next eligible for parole in 2024. He's in very poor health. He's in a maximum security prison. You know, the maximum security prisons are not a young man's game. They are a dangerous place for anybody. And the clemency petition asks that the president release him in the interest of justice and reconciliation. You know, as I stated before, he is emblematic throughout Indian country of this history of injustices. There are very few things that a sitting president can do that is an act, not just talk, about reconciliation, and this is one of them. The NCAI and former UN Rapporteur on Indigenous Rights, they all wrote supporting letters saying this would resound throughout Indian country. This would help restore faith in the law enforcement system, in the communities around the country. It's a big case. It lives on because it has never been faced. It has never been reckoned with, really.
Martin Garbus, I remember when the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals acknowledged back in the early 2000s that much of the government's behavior at the Pine Ridge Reservation and its prosecution of Leonard Peltier was to be condemned. Why hasn't that kind of statement taken us further? Leonard has long been due a new trial and is long overdue for a parole. His application for clemency was denied, his last one in 2009. Place Leonard's case in the context of the incredible bad behavior, the bias, the backwardness of the government's response to the indigenous people in Pine Ridge.
I lived in Pine Ridge for 4 months back then. One of the things that we have really forgotten is the demonstrations. When they occur, Richard Nixon, through General Haig, orders the military to attack the demonstrators. At that point in time, it was astonishing that military personnel, called a posse comitatus, was organized to attack American citizens. It was the first time that had happened in that century. Your question is, why has this not been dealt with? It's not been dealt with in large part because Native Americans are not seen as having political power, are not a respected community. Cynthia has been spending an extraordinary amount of time to get congresspeople to petition to ask President Obama to release Leonard Peltier. She spent some time in Washington last week. Altogether, 55 members of Congress over a period of time have asked that Leonard Peltier be released. But he hasn't been. That's the course of American justice. I represented recently Gerardo Hernandez, a Cuban who had two life sentences plus 15 years. It took a negotiation between another head of state and Obama to get him released. Leonard Peltier doesn't have that kind of clout. He doesn't have large, powerful people speaking on his behalf relentlessly. Yes, he has members of the Congress. He has the liberal community. He has, as Cynthia mentioned, Nelson Mandela, Bishop Tutu, and hosts of others, Ramsey. But, you know, we've seen at Standing Rock where that community did have some power and was able to achieve some results, certainly with the help of President Obama. Whether or not there's enough power now to persuade the president to release Leonard Peltier is something that we'll see in the years ahead. But Cynthia has, it's unusual for a former prosecutor who prosecuted cases for 28 years to come in and say, as Cynthia has done, this is my professional life. This is who I prosecuted. And here's a case that is so startling that I, for the first time in my professional life, are coming out and condemning government action. So the fact that Cynthia is doing it is a very new and powerful voice on his behalf. And maybe her voice and the effort she has made will result in Leonard being released.
Cynthia Dunn, you made the case before members of Congress. Make the case for us now and tell our listeners what to do to immediately support clemency for Leonard Peltier.
The first and foremost, they should write to their elected officials and ask them to notify the president and the U.S. pardon attorney that they support clemency for Leonard Peltier, that enough is enough. After 41 years, you know, justice has been served under any interpretation of the case, and it's time to allow him to go home for his final years of life and to live his final years of life at Turtle Mountain Reservation. So they can write to their elected officials. They can do it by email or on their websites. The most impactful at this point, probably because we're so short, we've got such a short fuse here, because January 20th is the last day. If he's not the clemency petition is not authorized by then he will likely die in jail. they could write to the president easily through Amnesty International's website. They have it as an action page, and when you click on it, you have the option to sign their petition, which I would urge everybody to do. It takes about 2 minutes, and or you can send a letter to your elected official. It's all completely set up for you. If you want to amend the letter slightly, you can, but you can use that as a tool. It's very easy. It's Amnesty International. This is probably the most impactful way at this time that people can take action. You know, this would be a great injustice. I mean, right now, Leonard Peltier is an icon throughout Indian country and really around the world. When the UN did its report on Indigenous people in 2012, they included this as one of the open wounds that is hurting Indian country today. Let's see if we can, you know, get this over the finish line. Right now, it's at the Pardon Attorney's Office, we believe. It has to be handed over to the president before he can act on it. He can't act on it until it gets presented. So let's let everybody get going. It takes 2 minutes. Support what's right. We all should, this shouldn't be politicized. You know, as Martin said, the liberal community supports it. Everybody should be supporting this. If you believe that the justice system stands for equality and equal rights for everyone, and that the protections that we have apply to people who are innocent or guilty, if you believe in those things, then you should support allowing Leonard Peltier to live his final years in the interest of reconciliation and in the interest of justice.
Now, I also want to say that people can call the White House. The number is 202-456-1111. That number again is 202-456-1111. And you can ask Barack Obama to grant Leonard Peltier clemency. All these calls are logged in and they are available to the president. So you can go to the Amnesty International website, sign the petition. I know that there are over 55,000 people that have done so to date.
It's over 101,000, actually, this week.
Oh, better. Fabulous. Yeah. So let's get that up to several hundred thousand, which I know with our listeners' support, we can do. I really want to thank both of you. Martin Garbus, the last plea here for our listeners as to why they should get on board for clemency for Leonard Peltier.
There has to be ultimately some sense of decency in the American legal system. We have to go back to the ideas of law and justice. We have to reaffirm what the country is about and what we believe is proper. And the jailing of Leonard Peltier for over 40 years, 6 years in solitary, at amongst other places, Lompoc Prison, one of the most horrendous places in the United States, is awful, and this is the time to deal with it.
I'm going to go back and give another last word to Cynthia Dunn. I'm just interested, as somebody who's spending a great deal of time on the Pine Ridge Reservation, the additional passion of the people there that is behind the clemency. Just tell us about that and how important to Indigenous peoples' rights, sovereignty, self-determination is freedom for Leonard Peltier.
I'm an outsider in the community. I can report what I've been told, but I can't necessarily speak for them. But I have spoken with several survivors of that era, and one, when she learned that I was involved in the representation of Leonard Peltier, just burst out in tears and said she'd never thought that she would see someone she knows actually standing up for this. And she had lived through the 70s. It hurts, and the pain is still there. And I can tell you that the feeling of that Native Americans are not being treated as equal value in today's society is still there. It's there on the Pine Ridge Reservation. It's there in the border towns. I spend a lot of time in Rapid City. I've actually counseled some entities and civic groups on how to try to help address some of the really blatant discrimination that still exists in the region. It would go a long way for so many different reasons, not only to restore faith in the justice system, but to show that we as Americans are prepared to turn a page and we're willing to look back and we're willing to listen to all of those watchdogs and humanitarians that have stood by him for 40 years, because it's right. It's the right thing to do. So, yeah, I urge everybody to call the White House, get on Amnesty's website, www.amnestyusa.org. It's right there on the front page. You click it, in 2 minutes, you've got a petition signed, and you've got a letter to the president. You'll be doing something good today that will be on the right side, and you'll be standing on the right side of history, because I really do believe this will be recorded by historians as one of the greatest injustices in the history of the American justice system.
And interestingly enough, Judge Gerald Heaney of the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals, who sat as a member of the court in two of Peltier's appeals, actually talks about Leonard Peltier as a political prisoner and supports the movement for clemency for this man who has on 6 occasions been nominated for a Nobel Prize. I also must mention that Peltier is an accomplished author and I think one of the finest graphic artists of my lifetime. Just a magnificent, heroic individual who has suffered mercilessly. Courts have, in my understanding and research, had federal prosecutors who have admitted that the government can't prove who shot the agents. The FBI used improper tactics in securing Peltier's extradition initially from Canada and otherwise investigating the case. There is a body of information. We will continue to pursue this right up to the deadline, the case for clemency for Leonard Peltier. Get on board, sign that Amnesty International petition, or call the White House, write to your elected official. Special thanks for the work that they are doing for Leonard Peltier of the 2 exceptional, socially conscious attorneys, Martin Garvis.
You know, Mimi, we want to thank you, Cynthia and I, for the program,
absolutely,
and the things you said, and giving us a chance to reach people who have been told what they can do. It's very rare that people really within this country can do something by themselves that will have a political and human effect. This is one of those rare cases. Your votes can get lost in elections. There can be confusion. But here you have an opportunity to help save a man's life and make a statement for one of the most important causes and on behalf of one of the most beleaguered minorities in the country. So thank you, Mimi, for what you've done.
Well, thank you all. We are in this together in the cause for justice and the cause for clemency for Leonard Peltier. We've been speaking with Martin Garvis and Cynthia Dunn. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.